I'm Anita Lustria, and this is Faith Conversations. Today on the podcast, I'm delighted to have Brian Alain, and I realize I do this all the time. Podcast folks know this. You'd think I'd get it going, Brian, but I forget to ask how someone's last name is pronounced. So welcome to Faith Conversations, and I'm going to get you to say your last name for me.
Well, Anita, you are, so it is pronounced Alain.
Oh, yay. For once, I get it right. It's one of those things I always forget to ask, and then away I go, and here we are. Well, I'm delighted to have you with us. You are a man who wears a few different hats, and with that in mind, I would love to ask you, as I do fairly frequently, my podcast guests to introduce themselves. I first knew of you as connected with the Frederick Buechner Center, and maybe that's the place to start. Tell us your capacity there.
Certainly. So I've served for several years now as the director of the Frederick Buechner Center, basically since the inception of that organization. We began in 2012, basically when we at least went public with the first website that Mr. Buechner had, frederickbuechner.com, as well as his Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube pages. And so before that time, I spent most of my career in high tech, both at large companies, including Bell Laboratories, as well as startup companies. And Mr. Buechner's work got me involved for the first time in the Christian publishing industry, which has just been wonderful.
Well, that's fascinating, because that's quite a leap from the tech industry over to publishing. Well, at least it seems like a leap. Maybe it's not so much. I mean, obviously, your faith background had a part to do with that in moving you that direction, I would guess.
Absolutely, yes. Mr. Buechner's family knew about that, and they wanted someone who was an entrepreneur to lead this. And so I was very fortunate to be asked to do that.
Well, but, go
just
ahead.
Just like any other industry, there are similarities and differences. So
true.
At the end of the day, there are many common aspects. Aspect sense in business, and so those are very transferable.
Yeah, that's
true. But it's a completely new group of people and a completely different set of industry dynamics. So those two things, you know, require a significant amount of learning.
You know, before we move forward and away from your work at the Frederick Buechner Center, and I'll say this: folks that regularly listen to the podcast know that I'll put links to all that we talk about in the show notes. They can find it always, all kinds of information and these links at anitalustria.com. But talk about what the Frederick Buechner Center is all about to begin with. Some may not be familiar with Mr. Buechner, and some may not at all be aware that there is something called the Frederick Buechner Center.
Certainly. So Mr. Buechner is 91 years old now. He published 38 books over a period of decades, including fiction, sermons, memoir, other nonfiction. He was nominated for the Pulitzer Prize, the National Book Award. He's been given about a dozen honorary degrees from different seminaries and colleges. So he was a very esteemed, highly regarded writer. But he never did one iota of self-promotion or marketing his entire career, including the fact that I'm only aware of one book tour even that he ever did.
Wow.
Which was through a bunch of churches in Iowa in 1979. So his family felt that unless we took some proactive steps, that his work would just be too soon forgotten. So the Frederick Buechner Center was established to basically introduce him to a new generation of readers.
So, okay, I want to just ask and add a couple of things here. One, small little side note that's kind of interesting anecdotally. I worked in my former life for Moody Radio for years and worked with a gal that worked in a totally different department there at Moody, but she and I have been friends for years, and her family farm backs up to the Buechner farm or his kitty corner or something. So I find that interesting in New Hampshire. So there's that. But the other thing, years ago, before I started hosting live radio, I was the music director for Moody Radio and would often run into Michael Card. And one of the times that I ran into him, I would always ask, what are you reading? Well, he happened to be reading Frederick Buechner's book. Now, how many memoirs has Buechner written? This is probably... So what was the first one called? Title?
The Sacred Journey.
Okay, it was The Sacred Journey. I was pretty sure it was one of the early ones. And Michael just said, you have to read this. And I did. And I would say it was a life changer for me. Just the quality of writing that I had not yet experienced in Christian circles, apart from, you know, the typical C.S. Lewis, Tolkien. I mean, I was hooked on Frederick Buechner from that point forward. So I have Michael Card to thank for that. And kudos to Mr. Buechner's family for recognizing that his was a name, his writings were important, and for working to create a legacy here and putting the Frederick Buechner Center together.
Yes, absolutely. I couldn't agree more. It's been really quite a blessing for me personally, and it's just been outstanding to see how well it's been received.
Nice. Yeah, love that. Well, let's move, because the heart of this podcast really is not about the Frederick Buechner Center, but I wanted people to have background on you and on that as well. But you have moved into an area and have founded, and I guess maybe this is the entrepreneur in you coming forward again, maybe. You have founded Writing for Your Life. And I'll, you know, writingforyourlife.com. I'll add that. I don't know if that's the official name. Probably is. But what moved you from your work at the Frederick Buechner Center to founding Writing for Your Life? And before I even ask you what that's all about, let me just precede it by this, Brian. For years, when I did my former radio show, on an annual basis, I would host a program that had to do with writing. It was live radio, so we could open up the phone lines. People would ask questions about writing. I would have publishers, editors, and publicists and authors on to form a panel that could answer questions from all different sides of the publishing equation. It was an extremely popular program. People looked forward to it every year. And I thought, you know what? I need to do something in the podcast realm that can highlight writing. People are incredibly interested in writing. Many people feel like they've got a book in them or whatever it is. But this is a topic of interest to many people. Have you found that to be true in your workings and dealings?
Yes, absolutely. I think even more recently with the advent of the internet, that's nothing but increased because there are so many avenues now for being able to express yourself, being able to share your writing that did not exist previously. So I think it has spurred a growth in that area. And then you throw in self-publishing, which has done the same. And yes, I think there's nothing but increased interest in this area.
Yeah, I agree. So now back to my original question. What propelled you from your work at the Frederick Buechner Center to move into founding writingforyourlife.com?
Well, I would say two things. One is that I turned 60 years old, and I just decided, what do I want to do the rest of my life? You know, I figured I had maybe 10 years left in me of productive time, if I'm lucky, and so I felt like, okay, I would really like to try to help people however I can. And then the second aspect of this was that I learned all these things by working on behalf of Mr. Buechner. So all the work about the Christian publishing industry, about self-publishing, about social media, about seminaries, I mean, you name it. So I felt as though I could apply that to help other writers, particularly early stage writers that are just getting started.
What's the number one question that has come your way through the years that also kind of helped propel you this direction from people, from would-be writers, from people that just have an interest? It's kind of a big
published.
Question. Yeah, right. It probably is that general question, right? Yeah.
Yes, yes. I mean, I think there's a pent-up supply of writing. And frustration over the small number of books that get published each year by the publishing houses. And, you know, they've got businesses to run. I can't blame them for that. They have to be very selective, especially they want to go with someone who's already proven. So if they've already got writers in their stable who are continuing to write and write well and write successfully, they're the ones they're going to focus on. And thus, you know, the number of new writers that they're able to bring in each year is relatively limited.
And part of the equation is they also do need to keep bringing new writers in. But what are those avenues through which they are discovered? Well, then enter the picture, something like Writing for Your Life, because I want to hear the full orbed picture of all that you do at Writing for Your Life. But I certainly know one of those things is conferences. So because, you know, publishers, obviously you can find people if they have a substantial enough platform out there. Eventually they're going to rise to the surface and become noticed or known. Certainly their current stable of authors can mention or suggest someone, you know, all of this. But there need to be other avenues as well for publishers to be able to get out, rub shoulders with people who are writing, interested in writing, and are learning the craft and writing well. And I'm guessing that that's where Writing for Your Life comes in.
Absolutely. So there are several different areas that Writing for Your Life supports. I mean, the overall intent is for writers and to try to make that as comprehensive and as useful as we possibly can. So some of the major areas, I mean, number one is just as you said, conferences, and meaning in-person writers conferences, specifically oriented towards spiritual writing. And as much as I'm a technologist, one of the things I've learned is that you just cannot replace those in-person experiences from a networking perspective, from an inspiration perspective, from a focus. I mean, it gives you time away from your day job or your day responsibilities to allow you to focus on something like this. And so, you know, the in-person conferences have been very well received and a very important part of what I'm doing.
You know, it's interesting. I lived for years in the Chicagoland. Go ahead. Say that again.
No. Go ahead.
I was just saying I lived for a number of years in the Chicagoland area and kind of fell into a writer's group. I didn't even at that point when I joined even yet know that I needed them and needed that. I was very fortunate to run into some people who were on the front end of forming a writer's group that became very instrumental. I've published and podcast listeners know this, but never would have happened apart from a writer's group. And so, as you mentioned, specifically the networking aspect of going to a writing and a writer's conference, writer's groups can be critical to someone's ongoing journey. And to be able to network and find people in your area at a conference or people that you can connect with online, whatever the case may be, it's such a solitary profession. And yet you really need people walking beside you in that solitariness, you know, helping to encourage, helping to critique. I mean, there's so much that goes into the process that a good writer's group can provide. And I just think of all that can transpire at a writer's conference, like Writing for Your Life. I think that's, I'm sure you have great stories of what's happened at your conferences and people who have published because of what you offer.
Well, there's no question. Everything you've said, I totally agree with, particularly about, you know, the networking aspects of this, both from the standpoint of writers meeting writers and getting the local support that you just described, and also the writers meeting publishing house representatives, literary agents, marketing people. Just as an example, at one of my conferences last year, met one of the other speakers who was an editor at Zondervan and got a book deal out of that relationship, out of that meeting. So, you know, that there's one example. Another example is at that same conference, actually, one of the speakers was a literary agent. She signed up one of the attendees to represent her on the spot, you know, there at the conference. So it's like, oh my goodness, you know, this is, I just love to hear those kinds of stories because, you know, it just, it speaks to what you're saying.
I think the other piece of what is offered and what is really important at a conference like yours too, Brian, I think people also learn about it and come to attend and are very new to the publishing world, the writing world of possibility, and aren't even aware of opportunities that are out there. And they also don't know what all is part of the process, who the different players are that you need to connect with. I think it's just generally, I mean, it can be kind of overwhelming, I suppose, for someone to come and go, wait, an agent, a publisher, a book proposal. I mean, I'm sure there are some people that come that are just on the cusp of all this, and this is brand new news to them. I want to hear from your perspective. Is this a good place for the novice writer to come for the first time?
Yes, is a quick answer. I mean, the other part of the answer is most of the attendees are in that frame. They're very early stage. And they're sucking it all in. They're there to learn. And I think given how much I try to pack into 2 or 3 days worth of conference, they come away with a lot to think about, a lot to consider. And, you know, the feedback exceedingly positive. I couldn't be more happy about that.
Talk about what some of the workshops cover. We've talked about the fact that yes, there's networking, and you can meet publishing industry experts, other writers. But what kinds of things in the workshop setting are focused on? And I'm sure that varies conference to conference, but just give a broad brushstroke.
Sure. Well, there are three broad areas that we try to cover at some level of detail. The first and largest area is how to write. So just different aspects of spiritual writing. And so I have more authors at these events in terms of speakers than any other category. And some of them are more inspirational in nature, like the headline speakers in particular. Some of them are more practical in nature in terms of what they discuss. Some of it's, you know, the book proposals, the schedule, you know, how you actually go about making it happen, all these kinds of things. The second general category is how to get published. And so we always include either editors from publishing houses or literary agents who talk about the publishing process and how, what kinds of things they're looking for in terms of books and authors and topics and how to work with them and how to, you know, find the right agent, how to find the right publishing house that's a match for you. And then the third area, which is the smallest of the three that we focus on, is how to market. So in today's world, that's of growing importance. As you mentioned, not having a platform sometimes gets you disqualified, frankly, and not even being by the larger publishing houses in particular. So that happens to be my area of expertise and another area of Writing for Your Life that is outside of the conferences. In terms of platform development and marketing. But those are the three areas, you know, just generally speaking, that the conference covers: how to write, how to get published, and how to market.
When you say platform, for someone that's listening to the podcast and they're sitting there going, I don't even know what you're talking about, what does having a platform mean?
Well, the best way to think of it is a group of followers. And from a book publisher's perspective, it's a group of followers who are likely to buy your book. that's what they end up caring about at the end of the day, and that's what the author cares about at the end of the day. And so whether you go through traditional publishing or self-publishing, if you don't have a group of followers and you don't have awareness of who you are and what you have to offer, then how is anybody going to learn about your book?
And really to add on to that, the competition is so fierce. There are, you know, in the Christian realm, X amount of books, you know, from spiritual publishers that are turned out each year. But then you add to that every other kind of publisher that's out there publishing on every other possible topic apart from spiritual writing, sometimes even including that. So the competition is fierce, and if you don't have a platform, someone who's going to step up and purchase your books, then they may well just sit there, and you can see why a publisher would not want to take a chance on you and your message. And so that's a big part of this. So that's all that's contained, well, all, that's some of what's contained in Writing for Your Life. And you have conferences, well, first of all, you know, people can find out a lot more at writingforyourlife.com, but you have conferences all over the country. So no matter what region you're in, folks can connect with you. Is that true?
Well, we're growing our footprint, I would say. You know, we've done conferences in Michigan, in New Jersey, and in Nashville. This year, we will also have conferences in Chicago and in Raleigh, North Carolina. And, you know, for 2019, we're looking at some additional areas beyond that.
Excellent. Okay. So if you want to have Brian come to your area, then shoot him an email. Maybe you can make a connection and help make that happen. Now, another area that I want to talk to you about, because this is, I think, very exciting. This is a conference that's coming up. Well, and actually I should ask you about dates of what the very next conference is that's coming. And maybe it's the one that I'm about to ask you about, but I'll, something that I think is very exciting that you're doing is a conference called Publishing in Color. And I do want to spend some time now highlighting that. Is that the very next conference coming, or is there another one first?
Actually, there are two things coming before that.
Great.
One is a series of webinars. So we really haven't talked much about webinars.
Okay,
but
good.
In addition to in-person conferences, we do webinars that are, you know, somewhat similar in nature in terms of the types of presentations that are given at the conferences. But this is a webinar series that will take place April 23rd, 24th. It's called Meet the Editors. And it will be representatives from four different Christian publishing houses: HarperCollins Christian Publishing, Habington Press, Fortress Press, and Loyola Press.
Oh, wonderful.
So there'll be, you know, 4 1-hour presentations, including Q&A, and you can watch them either live or recorded. Mm. And then the next in-person conference will be the one in Raleigh. So that will be the main conference is May 9th and 10th.
I'm going to have you repeat where that was. We had a little blip here. So the next one did you say Raleigh-Durham?
Yes, in Raleigh-Durham, North Carolina. Yes.
And the dates for that?
The main conference is May 9th and 10th, and then we'll have a pre-conference Dig Deeper retreat on May 8th.
Ah, what does that mean?
Well, it's just more of a smaller, deeper dive, you know, into various aspects of writing. So in that one, it's basically two people leading the day. One is Robert Benson, who's just an excellent author and wrote a book about writing called Dancing on the Head of a Pen. That's an excellent book. And he'll have about 2/3 of the day, and I'll have 1/3 of the day to talk about marketing and platform development.
Excellent.
So, you know, kind of two very different and complementary topics.
Great. So, yeah, if you want to go deeper, then you can get in on that pre-conference. So then moving on from that, so you've got two different things happening before the Publishing in Color conference. Let me ask a quick question before we move on to Publishing in Color. The webinars, where's the best place for people to find out about those and sign up for those?
Writingforyourlife.com, of course.
Okay, great. Just wanted to make sure.
Absolutely.
Now, Publishing in Color, let's talk about that. Let's talk about where the dream, where the whole idea for that came from, and then you can tell us more about the breadth of what that conference is.
Sure. So, you know, as I said, I'm relatively new to the publishing industry, and, you know, kind of been gradually networking my way through. There were two conferences that I attended last year, one that I produced and one that was, you know, actually an industry conference that I attended, and I heard things at these two conferences that made me think about this. The first thing I heard was at the Evangelical Christian Publishing Association's Leadership Summit, there was a panel of publishing house CEOs. And one of the people in the audience, Jeff Wright, who's the CEO of Urban Ministries, basically said, you know, I want to remind you all that we've got this longstanding issue that we've talked about many times, and that is that there aren't enough books that you publish for people of color, and there aren't enough people on your staffs that are people of color. And the CEOs basically said, yep, we know it's a problem. We don't know how to solve it. And then a couple weeks after that, at my own conference, I was brainstorming with one of my speakers, and she was telling me about a conversation she had had with writer friends.
Say that again.
I wish there was a place like that.
Say that again. We cut out. You cut out. So, sure. So at your one of your conferences, one of your presenters talked to you and said what?
She said she had spoken with one of her African-American author friends the week before, and she found out that this presenter was coming to my conference to speak. And she said, I wish there was a place like that for people like me. And within the Writing for Your Life context, I've always included speakers who are of various ethnic groups, you know, African-American, Asian-American, Hispanic-American. And there's always attendees from those different groups that come to the conference. But at the end of the day, it's been primarily white. Primarily Europeans. So I heard those two things and I said to myself, well, my goodness, maybe I can do something to help this situation. And so that was where the idea came from. So I talked to, a couple of my African-American author partner friends and other people from the publishing industry and came up with the idea for a conference or a conference series, actually, focused on trying to increase the number of books that get published by people of color. So that's where the idea started. And the first conference in June this year is going to be specifically focused on serving prospective African-American writers. And it's going to be more of a networking event, more of a how to get published event compared to the Writing for Your Life conferences. And as an example, the Writing for Your Life conferences, I typically have more authors and fewer people from the publishing industry, whereas at the Publishing in Color conference, there will only be four authors coming to speak, but there will be over 20 representatives from different publishing houses and literary agencies.
Wow.
There to make presentations about how to work with them and also to meet with the attendees. So I haven't spoken with anybody that's known of a conference that has that many people from the publishing industry all in one spot.
Excellent.
So so I'm very excited about this. I'm very bullish about this. I really feel like we have an opportunity to make a difference.
I don't think you gave the specific dates. You mentioned June, so why don't you give those dates?
So again, it'll be a main two-day conference on June 19th and 20th with a pre-conference Dig Deeper retreat on May 18th. And all of that will take place at the New Brunswick Theological Seminary in New Brunswick, New Jersey, which has a focus on urban ministries. It's led by an African-American president, and it sits a couple of blocks from the Amtrak line that serves Boston, New York, Newark Airport, Philadelphia, Baltimore, and Washington, D.C.
Wow. Very convenient.
It's simple to get to.
Yes, that's fantastic. Okay, and I know we've given out the Writing for Your Life website a lot, but for Publishing in Color, I think you have a specific website.
It's publishingincolor.com.
That's pretty easy.
I was very happy that those domain names were available when I went to search for them because I think they're perfect for what I'm trying to do.
That's fantastic. I really wanted to highlight that. And I think the other thing that I want to say in the context of this podcast is twofold. One, obviously, one of the reasons I'm doing this podcast is that I have seen people through the years that have crossed my path continually be interested in the possibility of writing, kind of toying with the idea, but not knowing how to pursue it or what the next step is. And so I wanted to let folks know that they can get more information and attend one of your conferences, writingforyourlife.com. There are wonderful writing conferences that go on all around the country. Certainly they can find other possible conferences as well. But I thought you would be a great guest to highlight your conference and also just to highlight this the possibility and thought of writing and what it takes to move down that path. And so I wanted to highlight all that you did. And then secondarily, I was very excited about your Publishing in Color conference. And I want to let folks know that regularly listen to the podcast to spread the word. You know, Brian, you and I know it takes a lot of time and effort to get word out there about something new that's beginning, a brand new conference, a brand new podcast, whatever it may be. And I had so many people help me when I started out 3 years ago. So if you have friends of color, I certainly hope you, in fact, that you do, but friends that might be interested in writing, you know, share this information with them. Point them to the podcast, point them to the website, publishingincolor.com, so that they might become aware of this. I just want to commend this to you and ask you to do that. Also, you have something that I would love to hear you talk about that I don't know anything about. I'm realizing I know about your writing for your life and Publishing in Color, but I don't know much about Enliven Your Tribe. You've loosely touched on it, but I'd like you to say more about what that's about.
That's basically just a marketing consulting service. So I provide marketing for basically three different constituents. One are well-known authors. So just like Mr. Buechner, there are a couple of other already published authors who I do marketing for. Other things. Group would be early stage authors, people who are just getting started. And so I'll help them get their first website set up, help them get started on social media. And then the third group are companies. So there are some seminaries and other institutions that I've done strategic marketing for.
So that's all under the umbrella Enliven Your Tribe. And at your conferences, now I don't know, at all of your conferences, do you also present on marketing? Are you always... Okay.
Actually, I've begun doing presentations at these Dig Deeper retreats that I was mentioning. But during the regular conference, sometimes I have presented on self-publishing because I think that is an important new avenue that has never looked more attractive to new authors than it does today.
And I would agree with that. I want to add,
and not so much on.
I say that again, but not so much on marketing, you said.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I probably should.
Well, yeah, I mean, especially your area of expertise. I love that. But I wanted to add, I agree with that the self-publishing avenue is something that's available today that hasn't been before. But what I love about, you know, the fact that you can go to one of your conferences and learn more about that, there is a way to go about that. I think back to... and I don't know if this is true, maybe you can enlighten me. I feel like one of the best or one of the most well-known self-publishing stories out there, at least in spiritual writing, is the book The Shack. I don't know, but I remember when I first read it, hearing people talk about, oh, this would have been great if it had gone through a fantastic editing process, which you get when you're doing traditional publishing. And so I love that you have the opportunity to teach more about self-publishing. Again, a full-orbed approach. It's not just about getting your book out there and available, but it's all of the preceding stuff that goes into it as well.
Absolutely. It's a very important element. And so on the Writing for Your Life website, you'll see an area called Writer Support Services. And I partner with several freelance editors who do exactly what you're describing. If you're looking to self-publish your book or even traditional publish your book, it's not ready yet. It's really great to have a second set of eyes and ears like these experienced industry veterans to review what you've got and help you out with it.
You know, I think this is one of those topics that interests me. And I don't think it's just because I've published in the past. I would think in some ways, you know, been there, done that, and may continue to... may do that again, but I think it interests me because it's a world that feels I don't know what the term is I want to use. It's one that can be confusing, that people don't know a lot about, and yet always have interest in. I mean, I just keep thinking of the continual questions that I get on email and through the years from people asking about this whole process. So I love that you're doing this. And I, one of the other questions as well, or one of the other things I want to say besides, and I have a following, a final question for you too, Brian, but I think people come to a point in their lives where this becomes of interest to them. They might have heard this podcast 5 years ago and just immediately dismissed it. And one of the reasons that I like to cover this every year in what I do is people come to a point where this is of interest to them at different stages of life. Last year, it wouldn't have mattered to them. All of a sudden today, they're thinking, I'm going to go to one of these workshops. I'm going to sign up and go to a conference that Brian Alain is putting on. So that's why I like to do this cyclically. A final question for you, though, is what have we not talked about? What have I not asked you that really needs to be said today? What else is out there that you want to make sure people know?
Well, I guess I would say I'm always looking for new ideas and new partners. You know, as a serial entrepreneur, I love launching new things. And so that's where Writing for Your Life came from. That's where Publishing in Color came from. I'm just really looking for ways to help spiritual writers, you know, support their work. So if there are other ideas that people have beyond what I'm, you know, already doing, I'm all ears.
And I know people can contact you from your website, from, you know, your different platforms, writingforyourlife.com. It probably is the primary one, but I will post in the show notes and on my website all of the links that we've talked about today so that people can get in touch with you so they can register for whichever conference they want to be a part of or register for the webinars. I know you've got webinars coming up right away here in April. So thank you so much. Thanks for your time. And thank you. I'm elated that this was the bug that touched you and your entrepreneurial juices went to work and you've launched out in this writing world. So Brian, thank you so much for being on the podcast today.
Well, Anita, thank you so much. I deeply appreciate being with you here. And thank you so much for helping get the word out about some of these resources. And thank you so much for all the work that you do and the great work that you've done over the years and particularly here with your recent podcast work.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And to everyone else listening, I say keep the conversation going.